I am Meru, and this is Modern Immigrant. Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Modern Immigrant. I'm so happy that you are here. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Modern Immigrant. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like, to comment if you're watching us on YouTube or if you're listening, especially those that are listening on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. Tell us what you're liking. Tell us what you are enjoying about this episode. And that really helps other people find and discover this immigration stories. Kimberly is today with us sharing her immigration story. And I met Kimberly through TikTok. And we were able to talk a ton about TikTok, the platform where she shared one of the many videos that she has that have gone viral, where she touches on her experience as a first-generation immigrant, as the eldest daughter of an immigrant household, the pressure that she has felt, the struggle, the trauma, the breaking generational cycles, going to therapy, talking about building wealth, and so many other topics that I know you are going to resonate with. Kimberly talks about her experience as an undocumented immigrant living in the US, the challenges, how does that look like? We talk about the guilt that sometimes we feel as immigrants when we're reaching and accomplishing new things. And we also want to share it with our parents, and we also want our parents to experience the same thing. So Kimberly was really honest and open, and I truly appreciate how she was able to talk about those challenges while at the same time give us so much hope, inspiration, and reminded us de que sí se puede. We can do this. And we have an amazing strength and resiliency. So I really hope you get to enjoy this interview. If you liked it, let me know that you liked it. Let me know that you enjoyed it and share with someone else that might be able to also have a good time listening to this. Remember that you can find links on the description so you can connect with our guests. You can go check out her Instagram and you can watch the TikTok video there. We're going to be talking about throughout the interview. So again, thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you. I'm really excited with today's interview. I have Kimberly with us today, and we were just talking about how amazing TikTok can be. So first of all, welcome everybody to a new episode of Modern Immigrant. Kimberly, welcome. Thank you for agreeing to do this through a message. Like, thank you.
Yeah, totally.
It's cool to connect. And I guess we can start by, I want to give people some background if I didn't say it already in the intro, but I met Kimberly through a TikTok that she posted that went viral, I believe. That's the word. I don't know. I have heard a lot of people being like, what's viral? Why not? I think there's no doubt that that video was viral. Yeah. And just the fact that, and I will put the link so people can go watch it, but I felt like you touch on so many important and amazing topics in just a few seconds that hopefully we can go over some of them in today's interview. But yeah, how it has been for you? Tell us a little bit about that TikTok.
Yeah, it's just been kind of crazy. I think I made a TikTok account in 2020, and I only posted like a couple of things, like random videos, like my boyfriend falling off a wall, and I didn't really use it because I just didn't really understand it. I am not as young as, I'm 26 years old. So I feel like I'm at
the
cusp.
You're so young.
I'm young, but I'm not Gen Z.
I get it. Yeah.
I feel like all people on TikTok are a lot, like my brother's 6 years younger. So his generation is very active. And then I just, last year in 2021, I just uploaded a video when my brother got accepted to UC Berkeley. And then that one went viral everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then this past year, I just decided to upload another TikTok video because I really connected with that song from Encanto, yeah. Pressure. I watched the movie with my little brother and my boyfriend. And when that song came up, I was like, oh my God, I feel like this is me. I feel like I've grown up my entire life with this pressure that I think that I've applied onto myself because my parents have never been, they've never told me you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. They just told me focus on the education. That is your number one priority and that's your job, focus on school. But for me as the oldest daughter, and also, you know, I was the one who learned how to speak English. And I was the one who went through the education system first before my brother. I just felt like I took on all these roles on my own. Like I translated for my parents, like a lot of us do. I read important documents because I didn't want people screwing over my parents. And I was very aware about so many topics. And I was involved in conversations that maybe people at my age normally are not, like even taxes. And so I just felt like, yeah, this is my entire life. I have felt a lot of pressure. Also, you know, like I'm a DACA recipient and, you know, child of immigrants. My parents gave up everything, literally everything, so that they could come here and give me a better life. And so I felt like I needed to excel academically in school. I needed to go to a good college. And that all became extremely difficult because I'm a DACA recipient. And then also, you know, I want to retire my parents. So that's another added stress. And right now I'm currently helping my brother navigate college. I've supported him through his college application process. Amazing. And currently right now I'm helping him, you know, apply to internships, helping him with his resume, with his interviews, with literally anything that he needs. And he asks me for advice and my boyfriend as well. My boyfriend has nice. Taken on a role as an older brother to my little brother, which is pretty nice. So yeah, that I feel like that song really encompassed a lot of the feelings that I have felt growing up and up until now. And I did not expect for it to connect so much with people.
Yes. And I think that's like, just, I want to ask you so many questions about what you just shared, but like, I think that the fact that it connected with so many people is so many people feeling similarly, like some of the things that you share, that it touched me as well, right? It made me think about just seeing so many people commenting and sharing and liking, like that pressure. And I don't think we talk about that pressure as often. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, have you been able to channel that pressure before somewhere else? Like, cause you have to be on like a go, go, go at all times.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel, I think the way that I de-stress, I go to the gym and I also just cry. If I feel extremely overwhelmed, I just cry and I let it out, or through working out, that really helps me. But I just did not, I guess I just grew up. Well, first of all, just being growing up undocumented, I never shared my citizen or immigration status with people. You know, that's something that people hide and don't share at all. And so I could never really have these conversations with people on how I felt, you know, being undocumented in the United States. And I could never really talk about my experiences with my peers because even my best friends in high school didn't know about my situation. That all changed once I got into college and I started becoming more vocal. And I said, you know what, I'm going to stop caring. But I still, yeah, and even in the tech industry or in the my relationships or my friends, I don't really have a best friend or a close friend that is in my same situation. Even though there are millions of undocumented people, there are only 750,000 DACA recipients. And then amongst those 750, a few percentage go to college and then a few percentage end up in corporate America and then in big tech. So I've only met like one more person in my same situation in the tech industry. And he is amazing, but
right.
I still have felt very alone in my path. And when I posted this video, I was like, oh my God, there are so many people that feel just like me. How did I think that I was the only one? And it just kind of opened up my mind of how we all have, there are so many of us who share in these experiences. And I think it's important that we start talking about them and not feel so alone. And so like, that's one of like my purposes of TikTok. I'm honestly still figuring out this world, but I'm just trying to like connect with other children of immigrants, DACA recipients, low-income students, any everything that I grew up in feeling so alone in. I just want to connect with others and hopefully inspire and help them not feel as alone in this journey.
I think that's beautiful. I think that connection piece is what really keeps us going. And I think that's what so many people feel like they want to build community. Sometimes we don't even know what does that mean, right? Like build community, connect with others, but you're scared, you're working all the time, you don't have the time or the resources. So I'm glad that there are people like you opening up about those experiences and just being more vocal, right? Can you, so I'm assuming everyone knows what we're talking about, but could you share what were some of those experiences that you feel like people connected with the most that you have been struggling with?
Yeah, I felt like, well, one of the things that I mentioned in my video is being like the oldest daughter and planning out my parents' retirement and figuring out how we're going to do that. And that was something that really surprised me that a lot of people connected with that as well, feeling the pressures of not only needing to excel in their own life, but also apart from worrying about themselves, which is already hard enough just taking care of yourself, a lot of people felt that pressure of needing to help their parents and help and support them financially in some way, shape, or form. That was a big one for sure. Yeah.
It's and so then, hard for, yeah, just for immigrants. I remember I shared an episode similar topic on being your parents' retirement plan. And that has been also like one of the videos that people have commented the most and like have more things to say, which also surprised me because I don't know, I knew it was an important topic, but I feel like we don't know what we're going to do, right? Like we don't know how we're going to support ourselves, the family that we're building, and also parents. So thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, and I could talk about this stuff forever, but I think a big thing, and in the Latin community, we haven't received as much education on like personal finance and budgeting and planning for the future. I think a lot of us, well, us who come and immigrate here, you know, our parents come and they're here just I don't want to generalize, but most of us are barely making it. Like I grew up in a family, like my parents, we lived paycheck to paycheck. There wasn't much money left over from what my parents made. If anything, I don't even think we had any actually, for them to put money aside for retirement. And there was no education, or nothing that nobody told them that, oh, maybe you should open up a 401k or a traditional IRA. And also the job, one of them, for the first part, like they're undocumented. So like they thought that they weren't even able to open one of these accounts. And two, the jobs that typically immigrants who come here will have jobs that actually don't even have a 401k account for them. Exactly. And their employers don't even contribute any money to them. And because of that, I think it leads us to where we are today, where our parents work so hard every single day, but they didn't have the knowledge or access to resources or financial tools to prepare for their futures. But then comes in the child of those immigrants who start learning about all these tools and financial systems. And we're like, oh my God, we actually need a plan. We can know, at least for me, I've had to learn all of this on my own. And it's been extremely eye-opening, but also stressful because I talk to some of my friends and they're like, oh yeah, I mean, their experiences are very different.
Their parents haven't all figured out.
Yeah. In fact, their parents are helping them.
Yeah.
Or it's like my family accountant will help me do my taxes. I'm like, what? Like, okay, that's cool.
I am the family accountant, right?
Yeah, I did not know that was, I did not know people had accountants for their family until I started, yeah, working full time and meeting different people. But yeah, I think that's one of why a lot of people share in this experience of having to plan for our parents' retirement. And it's really stressful.
It is. It is. And as I said, again, just being able to, thank you for being open about that, because I know it can be hard and it can be challenging. Did you ever feel like you got to a point where you were struggling a lot with this pressure? Like, did you ever seek for professional help? Or like, I just feel like there's so many people that can be listening and they don't kind of know where to go, what to do when they're feeling like that.
Yeah.
Based on your experience, of course.
No. Yeah, definitely. I think it's extremely stressful and it can be depressing. It really can be. I've had extremely high points and also extremely low points. Especially when Trump was running for president, I was depressed. Because he ran on a platform to take DACA away. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was about to graduate from college. And in my head, I was like, everything that I've worked for is over. Like, it's just going to be thrown in the trash. I'm going to graduate. I'm not going to be able to work. And so many other things that I faced, like my grandma, unfortunately, she got diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago when I first started working full time. And because she was in Mexico, I couldn't go visit her, and she passed away, and we couldn't go to her funeral and all of that. Name a laundry list of extremely sad moments. And for me, I've been going to therapy, and I know this is also a very privileged thing to be able to go to therapy, be able to afford to go to therapy, which is something that my parents have not been able to have. And I think about that a lot. I go to therapy to talk about my stresses, the guilt that I feel, and certain emotions that come up, even within my personal relationships. With my friends, sometimes I notice certain feelings popping up when they mention that they're traveling abroad, and I feel a certain way about it because I can't. Or when they're talking about that, or even when they just mention that their parents have retired already, and I get really sad because I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish that I could say that. I wish that my parents were retired. So yeah, I go to therapy. I also write a lot. I journal a lot of my emotions. I also give a lot of speeches out loud to myself. It's kind of weird, but I like motivate myself by talking to myself and just that talking helps. About my feelings out loud to myself. And people think that's kind of weird. But it helps me to talk aloud to myself about it, even if it's not with a therapist.
No, that really helps. Like, there's people that like to record themselves with the notes, like, or something like that on their phones. And it's just a way that to let it out. Exactly. Sometimes we just need to say it out loud in a way for like our brain to really process what we're thinking or feeling. And journaling, I feel like that is so helpful as well. Seeking help, of course. Like, it's definitely like what you're saying just makes me think of like so many things that we don't. Yeah, there's so many layers, right? Like so many things that we don't know even how to express that we're feeling, that we're thinking. You mentioned guilt. You mentioned, you know, they're very complex emotions, I think, as we move and experience immigration. But there's one like theme in that TikTok video, at least, and in the conversation that we're having, that I feel like there's a lot of positivity in your message. And there's a lot of saying that failure is not an option, which is the phrase that you share in the TikTok. And that, I think, it's also what makes a lot of people feel connected, right? It's not just the pressure, is that there is a way and we're going to find a way. We always do, I feel, as immigrants.
Yeah, exactly. At least for me, something that also like helps me a lot, and the way that I reframe my own experience, that while, yes, it's been very difficult, it's been sad, it's been a roller coaster of emotions, I use the adversity, I use the struggle, I use those moments of sadness and to like motivate me to move forward. I have used my background and experience to as my source of strength, and that's how what I think about the things that I've been through, because it just has made me a lot stronger and resilient, and I can like solve things a lot quicker, or things that I know some people that may stress them out a lot, and their feelings are completely valid because I've been through very extreme situations. These other things don't impact me as much. Yeah. And there is hope, and there is I was trying in that video, like the way that I was I guess moving around, I wasn't crying in that video. Okay. I wasn't trying to like whine or complain about my situation. I was just acknowledging my situation, and like the way that I expressed myself was in this like very like power stance, powerful dramatic movement, because I wanted to show like the power behind all those things of like, yes we can all do it. I've been through all these things, this is what I go through, but we can all do it. We just really have to believe in them ourselves. And that's something that I see too. I think that even within, I feel this, like imposter syndrome feelings. I think mm-hmm. that sometimes we don't think we're good enough, I struggled with this with even my own brother. He didn't think he was good enough to get into UC Berkeley. And I told him so many times, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I went to UC Berkeley. I've met other people at UC Berkeley. I met people in other amazing schools. And because of that, and I know you, I know you're good enough for all these schools as well. And he got in. And I'm like, I told you. And so yes. I just don't want us to hold ourselves back despite whatever situation we grew up in or our backgrounds. Yeah, if I wasn't in the position that I'm in right now, and this is not to say that people who are not as like valuable or haven't made it or successful or succeeded. I just felt like I needed to go to school and make good money in order for my parents' sacrifices to be worth it. And this is honestly all self-applied pressure, because my parents have never told me you need to make this much money, or you need to pursue this career, or you need to help us financially when we retire. My parents have never said any of these things to me. But in our culture, in Mexican culture, it's basically like expected for children to take care of their parents in old age and to never, leave them alone. It's just how we grew up. My parents supported my grandparents, and my grandparents lived with us for half the year, if not a whole year, and they've always taken care of my grandparents. It's just how my grandparents also grew up raising me. That's just how it is. And I feel super blessed, but there's a lot of guilt that comes with it, and I know that I yeah, I just feel really lucky and privileged to be in the position that I am in now. And I'm just trying to grow and get better each and every single day, because I still have so much to learn and do and figure out.
Right. We're all in that journey. But there's something really quick that I feel like I want to explore with you, which I know it's not an easy thing to talk about. But when you talk about that guilt, that's something that's pretty recurrent in a lot of my episodes, is that guilt of, you know, breaking those cycles of, you know, growing, moving forward, having something that our parents didn't have, having something that our parents never even imagined they could have. How do you deal with that guilt? Like, how, yeah, what do we do with that, right?
Yeah, that guilt is really hard, and I'm working through it with the help of my therapist, because it comes when I go on a vacation. It comes when I buy myself something expensive, or when I tell my parents, hey, I'm going to go to this festival, and I just feel bad because they haven't been able to have those same experiences. And for me, one thing that I'm doing and like working on is giving those experiences to my parents as much as I can. So like eating at like fancy restaurants, I'll take them out, or items that I know that they've always wanted to buy or that they would love to have, but they have never purchased it themselves. Like a nice bag. Like I grew up with my mom buying bags from Ross, which there's nothing wrong with bags from Ross or bags from thrift stores. That's where my mom bought a lot of her bags. And when after my first internship in college, I bought her for her birthday a Michael Kors bag, and she was like super excited about that bag,
because that's really cute.
It was like something that she would never do for herself. Or other things like, yeah, I bought my dad some stuff that he would never buy himself, or even like buying them new clothes from the store. You know, like they don't really did that for themselves. Or one thing that I'm planning on doing this year is planning a family vacation somewhere. That's something that I really want to do. I want them to experience having a vacation. And because of the jobs that they have, they can't take that many days off, or the days that they do take off aren't paid. But I still want them to experience that because they never have. And I think that's kind of how I deal with my guilt, is trying to provide those experiences for them as much as I can. But at the same time, I'm also trying to live my life and be happy and enjoy it, because that's what my parents want for me. I know our parents live through us, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Like seeing us succeed, seeing us do XYZ also makes them excited. Mm-hmm. And they love that too. And that's something that my therapist says to me, like, your parents are happy that you're having all these experiences, and while you're doing them and enjoying them, don't try your best not to feel guilty, because that's not what your parents would want for you.
I love that.
So that's kind of how like I manage it. But yeah, I mean, I would love to give them the world and tell them not to work anymore. And like, I'm trying to figure that out right now. But
just supporting it is, but you're working towards that. And even though I know that goal seems like really big, like, okay, I'm going to give them the world. Like that's really, it's a lot to put on ourselves, but I think it's really beautiful that you're saying that you want to give back to them, like all of their support, all of who you are today is because of them and the risk that they took. And I think that it's really beautiful what your therapist says. And it's beautiful to think about the fact that if we stop ourselves from doing all of those things, we're not giving them anything either. We're just being unhappy and grumpy.
Yeah, that's
and
not what our parents were
wanting. Right. So like, that's not what they want. That's not making them feel anything besides pretty sad, probably. So I know it sounds like, yeah, I don't want to make it sound like it's simple to do, but I think working towards that. I think it's really beautiful because at the end of the day, we are doing our best, and I think that's all we can do.
Yeah, no, totally. I try really hard to be as happy as I can. And I know that can be difficult based on challenges or life situations that come about. But yeah, my parents would love and enjoy when I am also happy, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not a parent yet, but I can assume that, you know, my parents are happy when I'm happy. And if I'm sad, they're going to be sad too. So, yeah, it's interesting, the guilt that comes with being the first person who, like, you know, makes it out, or that's kind of how I don't even know, I can't find the proper words, but, you know, the first person that goes to college, like first generation college students, there's a lot of guilt that comes with it, but we have to learn to navigate it, as best as we can with the tools that we have. So,
yeah. And being, you know, kind to yourself, and as you said, with the tools that you have, right? Like, never looking at it as we could have done more. That's what we were able to at that moment, and that's the compassion. I think that's so important. I guess two things. One, I forgot to ask you, how old were you when you came to the US?
Yeah, I was really little.
You were really little. Yes.
Yeah, I was 3 years old when I came here. Yeah. My parents put me really early in preschool, but I was in preschool in Mexico, and because I remember putting on my little uniform and going to school, and then I skipped kindergarten here, I believe. I can't even remember, but I've been here for a really long time, my entire life basically.
This is home.
Yeah, it is home. It's weird. I don't know. Like, this is my home. This is where I grew up. But at the same time, because I have DACA and I am not a resident or a citizen or anything, I feel like I can't, like, claim the United States fully or say, like, I belong here, because I feel like these laws, you know, are not allowing us to feel like that. I mean, I can't feel fully integrated or accepted here, even though I've been here my entire life, because of the way the immigration system is set up. It's such a weird feeling.
I can't even imagine. And it's broken and it needs to get fixed, and it needs to, like, it's such a complex feeling what you're describing, which, again, I really appreciate that you're saying those things, because I think it's that where are you from question that sometimes can be so hard to answer for us immigrants.
For me, I always get asked, where are you from? And I'm like, well, I was born in Mexico, but I came here when I was 3 years old. But I don't really feel like I can say that I'm here, because technically I don't have citizenship or anything. It's such a weird thing. Yes. But I just tell people I'm from Mexico. But then when they ask me further questions, I'm like, well, I don't really know anything about Mexico. Like, right. You know, like, I don't know about Mexico as much as I know about the United States. Right. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then I actually get asked a lot about my identity, because my family history is kind of complicated, but I look very Asian to a lot of people. Okay. Because my grandma is Chinese, but she was born in Mexico. Her parents were born in China. They immigrated to Mexico.
Wow.
So, and then my grandpa, the person that my grandma married, Chinese grandma married, my grandpa's dad was born in Germany. They immigrated to Mexico, married a Mexican woman, then they had my grandpa. So I'm like Chinese, German, Mexican. Yeah. So a lot of people also on social media, I mean, especially like TikTok, there's been a lot of questions around, oh, you're Latina, you're Mexican. well, what's up with your last name? Are you stealing your last name? Or did you marry a white guy? A bunch of, why do you look Chinese? I have so many questions about my last name, the way I look. It's white, even speak Spanish. So then that also adds another layer of like, dang, I don't even, like,
who am I?
Yeah, who am I? Where do I belong? I don't, there's no really,
I was just gonna say that people are so obsessed with trying to put ourselves or people in just one little box, and I feel like we're just so complex as human beings. And
Just like, people think that Mexicans have to look a certain way, and no, we don't. We are super mixed. I don't know what to tell you, but I am Mexican, even though you don't think I'm Mexican, or even though, I just don't feel it. I just feel like I can't really, I don't fit into a box, and everyone has their own opinion of who I am, what I look like. And I just gave up explaining. Yeah, that's basically it. But yeah, I have some crazy people saying stuff on the, about my identity. But yeah. It can be fun.
That was my kind of sort of last question, was about those comments that you get, because I mean, social media, and I think, as you said, TikTok gives people the right to like say a lot of things that they wouldn't say to you in real life situations. So like, there's, I think there was a follow-up question that you got on a video that was about, and I think this is a very recurrent idea on, well, if you're an immigrant or if you're a DACA recipient and you have all this difficult life story, that gives you free access to a lot of things, like free college, or you get to apply to the services. Like, people have this idea that immigrants have this amazing services available, which I don't know where they're at. If somebody knows where all of those services are for immigrants, let us know. But yeah, I would love to hear that. I mean, your response to that, or even someone that might be listening and might be like, oh yeah, well, you know, how hard that must be if you can still use that as your card, right? Which I know it's not true.
No, yeah, people, man, it's crazy. So I can cover two things. So one is that people say, oh, you're low income, you're so lucky you got free college. First of all, people who are low income would rather grow up with having money, being middle class or upper class or whatever, and have to take out loans and go to school, because being low income is extremely stressful. There's a lot of trauma that comes with it. Seeing your parents struggle every single day, working long, hard hours to make barely any money, not seeing them go on vacation, you know, not having money to pay for food, all these things is sad, and it's traumatizing, and it's difficult. And we're getting made fun of school because of the car your dad drives. Stuff like that. Like, people who are low income, first of all, are not lucky. In that video, I said I would have rather taken out over $100,000 in loans and not having grown up low income. That's just what it is. Not that I regret or would change anything about my life, because I have, you know, I would not be the person I am today if I didn't grow up the way that I did either. People don't understand how systems are structured. They do have this general idea that you know, being low income or even being undocumented or being an immigrant, yes, you do have automatically access to all these resources. And the resources, there are so many different requirements for them. Right. If you are even able to, you know, there are some states, like for my situation, there are some states that have the California Dream Act that helps people who are undocumented. It gives you about like $13,000 if you meet the GPA requirements and all these things in order to pay for school. But there are other states that don't give you anything. And also access to all these resources barely started. They haven't existed for forever. It's all very new. So educationally, there are some resources and there are also not. When I was applying to college, when I was going to college, I did have access to the California Dream Act, which helped cover my tuition, but my housing, room, board, food, books, all that, I needed to figure out how I was going to pay for it because I wasn't eligible for federal grants because I'm not a citizen. So I couldn't get federal financial aid. And I also couldn't take out loans at the time. There weren't loans for people with my status. And yeah, I cried. Every single day, I like had to stay up like 4 a.m. applying to scholarships that I wasn't even eligible for, but I would still apply. I sent letters to rich people, like Oprah. What was his name? I can't remember, it's off the tip of my tongue. Like Obama. I'm forgetting, he's a famous news anchor. He's like the most famous one.
I'm so bad with names.
Oh man, I can't remember, but he actually sent me money, which is so bad. I'm forgetting his name. But I sent letters explaining my story to all these people. Yeah. But anyways,
but it's exactly what you're saying. Like, I think the point that you made of like nobody wants to go through all of that. Like,
I'm not lucky. But like, I'm not lucky. Yeah. Another thing that I actually want to go over, even going a little bit off topic, is people, especially on the topic of like undocumented immigrants, people think that, like you said, people think that we have access to all these resources that we can just like apply and like the government gives you money. But especially like when you're undocumented, you literally don't have access to all these resources that the government has. And even through the pandemic, so many people, you know, this is so funny because people who complain about people receiving help received checks. Everyone received money in the mail during the pandemic from the federal government. So if people are so against that, did you return the check or did you cash it? But undocumented immigrants didn't even receive that. They did not receive that. They did not receive any aid. Even if they lost their jobs or are unemployed, they couldn't receive that aid, even though undocumented immigrants pay taxes, pay billions of dollars in taxes every single year. I just did my taxes. I just paid. So did my parents. They paid. And that's another huge thing that people don't understand is that we pay taxes just like everybody else, but we actually do not have access to these resources or benefits that people think exist somehow.
Oh my goodness, Kimberly, thank you for just saying those things out loud and very clear, because I get really tired of that conversation, really, of people just not, and people just talking about it without any information,
they don't do their research.
They don't. They're just so mad about all these immigrants taking advantages. And it's like, and those undocumented immigrants that you're talking about were frontline workers, nurses, where doctors were at the literally bringing your food to your house during the pandemic.
To your house so that you could feed yourself.
Yes.
And it's so crazy. Like during 2020, I was so mad because we were in the middle of the pandemic and then presidential election and all these people complaining were voting against undocumented immigrants. That was a huge topic of conversation. And people were voting literally against undocumented immigrants, while all these undocumented immigrants were frontline workers helping the United States continue to run, risking their lives every single day of their families with no help from the government, while the people who were against them actually received help. And it's just some crazy stuff. And it's sad. It's really sad. And as much as I want to help change the conversation or help change their mind, it's really hard to, unless they know somebody directly and I think I have had friends who have said, hey, I thought this way before, but after meeting you now, I think this, and I support you 100%. This has been amazing, but I really wish that there was a way to connect with people who have certain ideas, and maybe it is through social media. I don't know. Hopefully, who knows?
But and I think you're doing it in a huge way. Like, I think talking about it, sharing about it in social media, I get what you're saying. I get the frustration maybe, or the not knowing how to make a bigger impact. But I do think that small actions or small moments of conversation with that one person that you kind of impacted, really, if you put that together with everyone doing that on their own, I hope that it can create a bigger change. I really do hope that that's when we see something. Yes, exactly. And can you tell us, where can people find you, either on TikTok, or if you have any thoughts on what are you going to be, doing from that area, social media, so people can go follow and check it out?
Yeah. So all my accounts, my handle is kind of funny to me every time I say it, but my handle on Instagram and TikTok, there's Pinterest, there's Twitter, but mainly I use Instagram and TikTok. And those handles are at the Kim Schwartz, THEKIMSCHWARTZ.
I'll put it so people can get it.
Yes. Okay. See, and in my social media accounts, I'm just basically like sharing my life, my life in San Francisco, my experiences as a first generation college student, as an undocumented immigrant, now DACA recipient, how I'm navigating these systems, what I do every day, just things about my life. And hopefully through my experiences and me sharing videos, people also become more comfortable in who they are and within their own experiences. Like, it's okay that you grew up low income. It's okay that you're a child of immigrants. You can all, go to school. You can all work in these companies that seem so unattainable, but they are. You can live in San Francisco. You can travel the world. While also, I also feel guilty while still having the experience of being a child of immigrants or being first generation and having all these trauma and going to therapy. I'm just basically trying to create this platform of, connecting to other kids, especially like the younger generation who grew up like me, and hopefully inspire them. Because when I was a little girl, I never had anybody to connect with. I didn't know anybody like me. And I hope that I can connect with the younger generation and give them some sense of hope and inspiration. My TikTok account, my social media account is kind of like all over the place, but
it's not really.
I feel like I have no idea what's going on with
it. Even if it is all over the place, I feel like there's just like, I mean, I enjoyed your page and I think it's great. And I think people can find exactly what you're describing of, like, someone that's navigating all of those experiences. And I think that that desire and that pressure that we put as content creators, as, we need to keep our content looking a certain way, because I feel it too. It's like, should I share about this? But it's not podcast related, it's not immigration related, but I feel like at the end of the day, people are looking for that, are looking for the real you, and you and me and all of the people that are listening have a lot of things like that intersectionality. And we're messy and we like things that don't make sense with other things, and that's beauty.
Yeah, because for me, like, people, oh my gosh, all over TikTok, especially, you have to have a niche, you have to have a niche. And I'm like, I do not want to box myself into a niche. I am so many things. And that's my whole purpose of even posting videos on TikTok, is to show how multifaceted immigrants are. We're not just this idea of what people have. And that's just like my whole point, is just to show, hey, I am an immigrant. I grew up undocumented. I grew up low income. I go to therapy. I am very fashionable, I would like to think.
I'm
also funny. And I also have a life and like to go out and have fun with my friends. And I'm just a normal person, just like everyone else. And that's just my whole point of this account, really is. We're multifaceted. Stop boxing us into whatever picture you think we look like. So that's
awesome.
So this whole niche thing does not work for me. So
I don't think it works for I don't think it works for immigrants. I think we need to drop it, right? Like, I love what you're saying. I think we have so much to offer that we need
so
to
much.
Do it.
Exactly.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes. I'm learning so much about this world, and I kind of took a break for a bit because I got very overwhelmed by it all. It's fun. It's a journey. I'm excited to see where it goes, but I also am trying to be very conscious about making sure that it makes me happy and that I'm not changing the way that I am, or that I am not, like, I don't want to just change my content or adhere with what other people are doing. It's also really hard within the content creation and like social media world. There's mostly like, there's not enough Latinas. It's a lot of there's a lot of like white women who are in the space, and not enough women of color. And it can be very easy to like compare yourself or like want to be like them, but I'm never going to be like them. I'm never going to look like them. My life experience is never going to be like them. And so I'm just trying to be very conscious about what I'm doing with it, because I don't want to change who I am. And like mentally too, like you have to like ignore the negative comments too. There's so much positive that comes out of it, but those negative comments, it can be so easy for it to drown out the positivity. But I think I've gotten a lot better. Like, I don't argue with, sometimes I would like argue or like get really mad when I would see a negative comment, and now I've just been like, whatever. I talk so much.
No, it's, you're saying so many things that I love that you're saying and that you're sharing, because I know people are gonna connect with it, and I know people are gonna feel somehow similar to you. So I'm really lucky that I was able to connect with you through that huge platform that sometimes we need a break from. I agree with you on that. But I'm excited to continue to see where you take it and what you share and more about your life. And I'm excited to share this episode too. And so thank you so much, Kimberly, for coming to Modern Immigrant.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yes. And we need to do like maybe another episode to talk about Latinas in corporate America, because that's really nice.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, that'd be great too. Honestly, I grew up being told that I talk too much, so
part two.
I love to talk, so I'm always open to talking. Literally all the teachers at parent teacher conferences would tell my parents that she talks too much. That was the feedback. That her grades are fine, but she talks too much.
So
I'm like,
funny.
Maybe being on TikTok is a good idea for me.
See, you're using your strengths. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you one more time.